ourselves in lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others, but God. That's great, isn't it? But God. When all seems lost, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know you've got a lot of children when you call them by number. That's what I do. We used to do it as codes. They wouldn't work out who was who. So we could kind of say, well, one, two and one, about four and three. And then soon they worked out, wait a minute, I mean, I'm two. That means I don't get to go. Well, I'm going to tell a little story about number two. And it takes place on the Spanish island of Mallorca, or Majolca, depending on where you come from. And this happened in around 2009, I think. And we went there, and it was very sunny, as it often is in the summer in Mallorca. And we were in a little villa, and there was a swimming pool. I know what you're thinking. It's very flash. It was very nice, actually. And we went inside. We've been swimming in the swimming pool, as you would on a hot day in a sunny place. We went inside. And I don't know if you know the difference between wallets and children, but when you put a wallet down, it tends to stay there. And you might lose it, you might forget where you put it, but generally you work out where it is and go, oh, that's where I left it. That was a really silly place. But with children, you put them down and you go back a couple of days later and they're not in the same place as they once were. Well, number two, put him down. Probably wrapped him in the towel, just put him down there, and did something silly that parents often do, is just turn their back. Just turn their back for a minute. And as kind of two-year-olds do, as he was at the time, he just kind of saw the water and thought, I like that. And so he just walked towards it. Now, the reason why I make a point that it's in Mallorca, Spain, is because if we were in France, they have different rules, don't they? And they have to have a fence around them, or have to be raised up, or some kind of gate. But I don't have those rules in Spain. And so he just ran towards the water. And he just stepped over the side like this. And went... on the bottom of the pool. And I'd love to say I saw it and I run and I put my cape on and I dove into the water and I whisked him up and I rescued him. But my wife did. Instead. Probably because I think, oh, I haven't got my shoes on. I've got stuff in my pockets. You've always got stuff in your pockets. I've got nappy sacks. I've got everything. Got all sorts of things. So my wife, a bit like when you go and do your kind of life saving, you have to wear your pyjamas. You ever done that? And get a brick, because that always happens, doesn't it? Oh no, there's a brick on the bottom of the pool. Quickly, get my pyjamas on. Oh, rescued a brick. Brilliant. But she dove into the water and she rescued him. She picked him up and he was saved. And I know he's saved because he's over there. Give us a wave, number two. Yeah! Yeah! That could have been a terrible story, couldn't it? Thankfully, it was a happy ending. And tonight we're looking at this thing about our identity, saying, I am saved. Number two was in trouble. He needed a rescuer. He was in terrible danger. He needed someone to save him. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. We are a people that needs saving. We need a saviour. But there's good news. We have a saviour. And our saviour is Jesus. Jesus rescues us. He redeems us. He takes away all the dangers that face us, like sin and death. And he makes it possible to be made clean. And there's nothing that we can do to save ourselves. It could have been that Jude over there, I've seen it on YouTube, they do this toddler thing in America where they learn to roll over and just wait there in the pool to be rescued. It could have been, he could have been sitting on the pool, on that pool, gone, I've seen people swim before. It's something to do with arms and legs. Oh, it's working. He could have done, unlikely, but he could have done. He could have potentially saved himself. But when we look at our need, then actually it's only Jesus that can save us. You might hear lots of people with lots of faith say what you have to do to be saved. We can't do anything to be saved. It's not a salvation by works, or is it? Because in one sense, we are saved by the works, not of what we do, but the works of Jesus. Because of what Jesus does, we can be saved. Now, I'm going to look at three different kind of ways to be saved here, really, tonight. Because the Bible talks a lot about what it is to be saved. And there's a sense that Jude was out the pool and he was safe. But maybe he might go back into the pool and jump in again tomorrow. Which he probably did. We're going to look at what it is to be saved. Saved from the penalty of sin. Saved from the power of sin. And one day, one glorious day, saved from the presence of sin in our lives and in our world. So, first of all, saved from the power of sin. We need to recognize that we need saving. All the things that we do. Now, in the Bible, it talks about sin really as kind of rebellion against God. And if we don't love God every day with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, we're not living as God intended. And you might think, I don't do that. But you might think, I do loads more worse than that. We need to recognize really that God is a holy, perfect God. And we are, what's the opposite of holy? Unholy. Imperfect people. Sometimes we really find that very easy and we go, I know I'm rubbish. I've done this, I've done that, I know. And other times we go, I'm all right. I'm not as bad as, or, you know, I'm not perfect. And God says we need to be perfect. You're thinking, that's not fair, I can't be perfect. And if you can get to that point, we're recognizing that we know we're not perfect. We need, therefore, a savior. Sometimes we want to do things on our own. There was a time when my friend Stuart Cox, he's a fireman now, but that's irrelevant. He asked me to come and be his dummy. Don't laugh. He asked me to come and be his dummy because he was training as a lifeguard. And lifeguards have to have dummies that come when they do their training. You have to pretend that you are struggling in the water. And so I thought, I can struggle in the water. I find that very easy to struggle in the water. I swim like a stone. So I went to the leisure centre, as it was in Bedfordshire. And I had to just lay in the water waiting to be rescued. And he came along. At that stage, Stuart was quite a big fella. And he kind of hauled me up a bit. And he did a tow where you pull someone along. I think it was a long arm tow where you kind of put your hand under the chin. And you had to drag me the length of a pool in a certain amount of time. And the clock was ticking. And he just whispered in my ear, kick. Kick, 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 kick. Stop kicking, kick. He was kind of supposed to save me, but he couldn't do it quick enough. He needed a little bit of assistance. He needed me to help me. And when we look at being saved by Jesus, I just want to reiterate that point again. It's all of Jesus. It says there in the passage that it is by grace we have been saved, not by works, so that no one can boast. There's nothing we can do. It's not a little bit of Jesus who lived a perfect life, sent from the Father to come and to live and to love and ultimately to die and rise again to defeat sin And then also with us kind of being nice and being generous and kind of going to church like at least a couple times a year. None of that. It's all by Jesus. There's no kicking involved. It's all by Jesus. And what he does is he saves us from the penalty of sin, which is death. He saves us from death in two senses. The Bible talks a lot about kind of death as being kind of separated from God, even though we feel like we're alive. I mean, I could do this to Alex. I'm sorry, Alex, you're over there. I'll do it to your brother instead. I could do that to Alex, Max, sorry. Stop moving. And he could go, why did you just pinch my ear? It's vaguely painful. That was more of a squeeze than a pinch. Bit of a pinch. He felt that. He felt, I said, I feel fully alive. But the Bible says, actually, if we're living in sin, it's like we're spiritually dead. It's like we're spiritually dead. But there's also another sense of that, that the consequence of sin is death, and that's separation from God. That's God's judgment upon our lives. And when we lay our imperfect life against God's holy standard, there is no chance. There is no chance. We stand no chance because we can't save ourselves on any merit or anything we've done. And so Jesus says, I save you from the penalty of sin. So when people say as Christians, I'm saved, we say, brilliant. That means they said, Jesus, I know that I'm not perfect. I admit I'm a sinner. I need to turn from sin and I want to follow you and I need you in my life to do that. And we say, praise God, you're saved. You're saved from the penalty of sin. That means you are alive in Christ, both now. People talk about us being born again, don't they? It's like having a new life. We were once dead and crawling around the darkness, and now actually God's opened our eyes and we have a new way of living. A new way of living. We don't want to satisfy our old self, our dead self, but we want to please God instead. But ultimately, he sets us free from the penalty of sin, which is his judgment. And we can say we need to be saved because we can't stand on our own. Secondly, he saves us from the power of sin. And the writer of Ephesians, Paul, struggled a lot with this. You're thinking, yeah, I know Christians. I've been really hurt by Christians. They've been mean to me. They've said all kinds of things against me. I've been to other places. I've been hurt. Or thinking, I love Jesus, but I don't always live in a way which pleases him. I know what he wants me to do. I know how he wants me to live. And I know he's going to give me this new life and I'm going to live in him. But then suddenly what I'd like to do is kind of go back to the old way of living because that seems sometimes appealing. And I know that Jesus has set me free from that, but sometimes I keep on going back to that because there's sometimes still power of sin in our life. And Jesus says, I can set you free from that. You think, no, you can't. I believe you saved me and stuff, but you can't set me free from that stuff. Jesus says, I've set you free. You are saved. You're saved not just from the penalty and the judgment, but also from the stuff that you keep on going back to. We're saved from the power of sin. That's very exciting. It's very exciting because it means that we don't have to kind of be a slave to it. And sometimes, you know, you feel kind of like one hand is kind of held back over there and this hand's free. And we all know you get double points if you catch a ball one-handed. Because it's much better with two. And Jesus says, I can set you free from those things that you feel are holding you back. And we can have confidence that Jesus hasn't just saved us, but he's saving us. And he can change us and he can set us free. So the things you struggle with, you don't have to struggle with anymore if you bring them to Jesus. He's paid the price for all your sins, past, present, and future. And he wants you to live a free life. That's what we have up in our church about, living free lives. Jesus can set us free. And thirdly, and this is something really that Nick has kind of helped me to kind of see more clearly over the last few years, and that is, he saves us ultimately one day from the presence of sin, because we get a bit fed up, don't we? And sometimes we just think this is the way it's supposed to be. You know, England is supposed to get knocked out. There's supposed to be disappointment. You know, there's supposed to be bad things and bad people doing bad stuff. And we're part of that, aren't we? But actually, God didn't intend it like that. He intended it to be perfect. That was his creation. And one day, he's going to restore all those things all the bad things are coming undone in Jesus. And we can be a part of that. Because he says that everything he's done in Jesus, he's done for us as well. And one day, we can glory in his glory. That's glorious, isn't it? That is a glorious thing. So Jesus sets us free. Now, Jude over there, he didn't know he was... Oh, sorry, number two. He didn't know he was in trouble. He didn't know he was in trouble when he went to the pool. Because I did see his face. And he was quite happy. Quite enjoyed it. I don't know if you've ever dunked a small child in water. Get permission from the bill payer first before you do that. But if you've ever dunked a small, they're quite happy when they go in. We're not. We go, oh no, I'm going to die. And we come up. But they go, wow, look at this. It's different. It's quite exciting. It's wet. And I can't see very much because I'm not wearing goggles. And then when we picked you out, he didn't say, oh, thank you for saving me. I was so worried. I was so scared. He went, I'm dry. And sometimes we need to start off by recognizing and our need to be saved, but also to celebrate. Those of us might say, yeah, I believe Jesus saved me. Oh, I was a bit wet. Now I'm dry. He's actually to say, thank you, Jesus, for setting me free. There's nothing I could have done to save me. It is all your free gift. It is all your free gift. And you set me free from the penalty of sin. You set me free and are setting me free from the power of sin. And one day you're going to set me free for the presence of sin. Oh, what a glorious day. Because only then will we start thinking, what am I saved for? What am I supposed to be doing with my life? Would you be going, I'm a bit dry now. I was in the water and I was in danger and now I'm dry. So what's on telly? Rather than saying, what am I saved for? And we are saved. I'm going to read here. This is why I'm looking down. He saves us into a glorious victory to show us these words in Ephesians, to show us the exceeding riches of his grace. He has saved us. So we can glorify God through the good works he's prepared us to do. He wants us to go and glorify God so that other people, so that everybody, and that's your friends and your neighbors and, you know, people in school and your enemies and strangers, so that everybody can see the grace of Jesus, and so that everybody might also be saved. So that we can go out and say, Jesus has saved me so I can go and set other people free. You know, when you become a lifeguard, your job is to save people. You sometimes wonder, don't you, when they sit in the chair and they don't really look and they're looking at their rotor. But the job is to save people. And sometimes we can be like those lifeguards that kind of sit in the chair and we're not really looking, we're looking at our rotor. I'm down to do creche next week. I've got French homework. And we're caught up in all the things rather than actually looking, thinking, actually these people here, my friends, my relatives, my enemies, Jesus died for them too, so that they can be saved. And it's a free gift. They don't have to do anything but receive it. And we're going to have a time now where we can think about these things, because we're all in this position, aren't we? Because we're not in heaven yet. Where we need to be either set free from the penalty of sin, where we need to admit we're a sinner, we need to know we're in trouble without Jesus, that we're lost, and that we need a saviour, and that Jesus has died to save us, to set us free from sin and death. And maybe that's you. And if you're in that pool, why would you just sit there on the bottom? You'd only sit there if you didn't recognize that you needed saving. So you maybe need to recognize you need saving tonight. You need to turn to Jesus because he's the only one who can save you. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you feel that you are bound, though, by the power of sin in your life. This stuff you keep on returning to. as they say, like a dog to vomit. And I've seen dogs return to vomit. And it's not pretty. And you go, why are you doing that? I've got a dog. The cat sits up and the dog goes and eats it. You go, why? Why would you do that? Why would you do that? It's disgusting. That's not good for you. Have some pedigree chum. That's what you're supposed to have. And we're like those ones that go, vomit. Oh, you know, that habit that Jesus wants to set me free from. Oh, I'll just go back to that just one more time. Actually, Jesus says, I've come to set you free from the power of sin. And maybe we need to really just ask God to set us free tonight. We need to pray for each other to set us free from the power of sin in our life. Or maybe we just need to glory that one day Jesus is going to set us free from the presence of sin. What a glorious day. We're going to have an opportunity now as we sing some songs about all that Jesus has done. I pray that the words would speak to you and to me. And there'll be people available as well for prayer. On the front, if you want to come forward and ask people to pray, if some of our leaders could help us in that. Thanks very much. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you that by his wounds we are healed. Thank you that it is by grace we have been saved. And come, Lord Jesus, and speak to us, minister to us. Set us free from sin. Set us free from the things we've earned, which is death. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd also set us free from the power of sin, and so that we might praise you and that we might live in a way that glorifies you, so that other people might also be set free. Thank you, Jesus, for saving us. And thank you, Jesus, for saving us. And thank you, Jesus, that one day for saving us. Amen.